Hi, listeners. We are still continuing on our messages to build up the body of Christ, to bring them into the maturity of Christ, into the fullness of Christ, so that they can reflect God to this world and accomplish God's work on earth. As I said in my previous message, the work of God in a believer is twofold. The first part is to change him and transform them into the image of Christ. And the second part is to build them up and equip them so they can accomplish God's purposes through their lives. Each believer has a work to do, and they are to be prepared for whatever that God has for them so they can accomplish it through their lives. And the Holy Spirit living in each believer is going to accomplish the work that God has purposed for their lives. Now, in my previous message, I spoke about holiness and understanding what holiness is, and to be able to live and walk out that holiness of God each day in our lives so that we will be a people of distinction. God wants his people to show forth his character, which is holy, and his nature, which is love, and his ways to this world. So that means you and I have to be changed and transformed into his image, into his character, which is his holiness, and to his nature, which is love, so that we can show forth who God is like to the outside world. That means God wants us to be a people of distinction. He wants us to be distinct people that have the mark of God on their lives. That's how the outside world is going to see God through us, is having his nature and having his character and walking in his ways, his righteousness. The outside world will begin to see who God is like. That's the only way they are going to see a picture of God. So God in these end times is calling his people to be set apart. To be set apart. That's what God is calling the body of Christ. He's calling the body of Christ to be set apart so that he can accomplish his works in their lives through the Holy Spirit, so they can be everything that God has intended for them to be in these end times, so that he can accomplish his great plans through the body of Christ upon this earth before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is a great task to be accomplished in the body of Christ and through the body of Christ. And God is preparing the body of Christ during this season to become like him, so that they can show forth his glory to this world. Now, what does set apart means? I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now, this is what happened when we got born again. When we got born again, we were washed of our sins through the precious blood. Then we were sanctified. The word sanctified means set apart. God set us apart and we were justified. That means at that moment, it was as though we never even sinned, because our slate was made completely clear of all the wrongdoings and all the sin at that moment when he accepted Jesus Christ. Now, the scripture says we were washed. So God forgave us of our sins, and we were washed. We were clean. He removed our sins from us. And then he set us apart. And then he says, I have justified you. That means he's not going to remember your old sins, your old life anymore. It's gone forever. It's buried. Then God says, now I have set you apart. You are clean. You are justified. Now I have set you apart to live a life of distinction. That life of distinction should have the mark of God, should have the character of God, should have the nature of God and his righteous ways. That's the reason he set us apart. That is his intention, to set us apart, to be a people of distinction, to carry the mark of God, to carry the nature of God, be the carriers of the character of God, the holiness of God, the love of God, the compassion of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, the goodness of God, the joy of the Lord, the peace of God. All these things ought to be seen and flowing out of the believer to make that believer to be a distinctive person on this earth. But for the most part, you don't see that distinction clearly and readily between the body of Christ and the world. A lot of times, the believers blend in with the world because they have not separated themselves to walk the kind of walk that God is calling them to walk. So therefore, when the world looks at us, there is not much of a distinction, there's not much of a difference between us and them. And as a result, they tend to treat the body of Christ with a lack of respect. They do tend to treat the body of Christ with disdain. They don't see this great God that has come to live in us and the manifestation of that God through our lives. Now that's what God wants the believers to come into. That we have such a manifestation of His nature, His character, His holiness, His purity, His love, His joy, His peace, and His rest, and everything that represents God, His ways, His righteousness. He wants these attributes to be seen clearly through the lives of the believers. That's how we are made distinct. That's the reason He set us apart. We are set apart as believers, as the body of Christ, to show forth God's love to the world. Not that old carnal love, but God's love. If you read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, you will understand what God's love is like. God's love is totally unconditional and it's unselfish. We are set apart to walk holy because we are instructed to be holy even as He is holy. We are set apart to walk in the truth. The scripture instructs us to walk in the truth. We are set apart to walk in the light. This is how the body of Christ ought to be living on this earth, to be a distinct, set apart people. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. I'm reading from the NIV. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Now let's go back and read verse 9 again. You are a chosen people. God has chosen each one of us. If you are born again, God has chosen you. We did not choose God. He chose us to be set apart. Now, it is our choice to live a life that is set apart. God has chosen each one of us. If you are born again, God chose you. Now, you have to make the choice to live a life that is set apart. He has set you apart to live a life that is set apart unto Him. So we are a chosen people to live a life that is set apart from the world. We are chosen to be a people of distinction. We are a people to carry the mark of God. We are not supposed to blend in with the world. We are to be distinctively different because we have the nature and the character of God, and we are continuing to grow in His nature, continue to grow in the character of God, in the ways of God. So there is a clear distinction between the body of Christ and the world. We are chosen to reflect and display God to the world. Then the scripture says, a royal priesthood. We are a royal priesthood. Why? Because we are born of God and we have the King of Kings living in us. As a result, we are royal and we are a priesthood. The New Testament believers are a priesthood. That means a people set apart and consecrated. When a person is called into a priesthood, they are consecrated. And so the scripture is saying we are a royal priesthood, royal because we have the King of Kings living in us, and we are the servants of the King of Kings. We serve and follow the King of Kings. And we are also a priesthood. That means we have been consecrated. So that means we have to live a consecrated life, because anybody serving in a priesthood is consecrated. They're set apart. A holy nation. We are to be a holy nation. Wherever the body of Christ is, whatever nation they live in, regardless of the nations, different nations they may live in, we are a set apart group that we have the distinction of a holy nation. We represent a holy nation because we serve the Holy One that lives in us. Because the Holy One lives in us, as a result, we have been made holy. Now we need to walk it out. He is there in us. His Holy Spirit is in us. And we can walk holy and pure and blameless before Him. Whenever we miss and whenever we sin, when that happens, you just repent and confess your sins and put it under the blood of Jesus, and you continue your walk. But you do not continue in sin and unrighteousness and darkness. There's no reason to. You have been washed. You have been justified. You have been cleansed. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of you to help you to walk that walk of righteousness, holiness, and purity, and be blameless. He's going to help you. He will give you the strength, the grace to walk that walk. He will give you the grace to be set apart. He's in you to accomplish these works, but you have to obey the instructions in the Word. When you read the Gospels, when you read about the life of Jesus, you are going to see who He's like, the kind of life He lived on this earth. When you read the epistles, it gives instruction how to continue to walk that walk of righteousness, how to be set apart, how to be a distinct person that is carrying the mark of God on this earth. Every believer can do this. That's the reason we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We are not doing this in our own strength. We are doing it through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the grace of God. We have abundant grace. We have all the power we need to walk this walk and to be a distinct people, a holy nation on this earth. Continue on in that scripture. It says, a people belonging to God. Did you hear that? A people belonging to God. God wants the people of God, the body of Christ, to live in a way that is such a distinction that the world, when they see us, that they will be able to tell that we are people belonging to God. They will know it in the marketplace. They will see the distinction. We will be a people of integrity, a people that walk in love, walk in holiness, people that walk in righteousness, and we are conformed to the standard of the Word of God. The scripture says that He does not want us to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that we may know what the good an acceptable, perfect will of God for our lives. God does not want the believers any longer to be conformed to these ways of this world, but to be transformed to His ways, His righteous ways, His way of doing things. And that's what God wants us to become. So there is a distinction. We are set apart to show forth and declare His praises to this world. Let me go back and read the scripture again, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. God wants that light to be so brightly seen by the outside world. He has called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. We are in the light. The light of the world lives in us. And the question is, do others see that light that lives inside of you? How bright is that light shining through you? Is it shining through you? Or is it hidden? Or is the light dim? How bright is that light? The more you grow in Christ, the more you walk in the light, walk in the truth, walk in love, and walk in the integrity of God, the purity and the holiness of God, the light is going to shine brighter and brighter through your life. But this is a process, and each believer has to choose to be set apart and to make a distinction. And verse 11 says, now this is the instruction for the believers, how to be a set apart person. It says, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world. He said, do not be so attached to this world. Do not live as a person that belongs to this world. You and I, we are in this world, but we do not belong to this world. We belong to a different kingdom. We belong to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. So the scripture is saying, we are strangers in this world. Even though we are here in this world, we are strangers. We are aliens. That's the way we ought to live. We have a citizenship in another kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And the scripture is saying, live like aliens in this world. Live like as you don't belong in this world. You and I, even though we are in this world, we are kept here to do a work, but we really don't belong to this world because the whole world is under the kingdom of darkness. And we are not in the kingdom of darkness. We are in the kingdom of light. There's a vast difference between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. So he's saying, live as strangers in this world. And then he goes on to say, to abstain from sinful desires. Now that is one of the instructions the scripture is giving, how to live a set apart life. The scripture says, abstain from sinful desires. Now God is not going to make you abstain. You have to choose to abstain. Now, if God was going to do that, the scripture will not say abstain. Therefore, there is a choice here. If you and I are going to be distinct people on this earth as a chosen people, as a royal priesthood, as a holy nation, as a people that belong to God, we had to make a choice to be distinct. We had to make a choice to be set apart. We had to make a choice to be consecrated. We had to make a choice to walk in the truth. We had to make a choice to walk in the light. We had to make a choice to walk in love. We had to make a choice to walk in righteousness and holiness. We had to make a choice to walk in integrity. All these are choices that is before us that we have to choose to walk in. Even though God has initially has set us apart, God has set us apart to walk in his ways. But each one of us has to make a choice to walk in his ways. He will not force us to do it, but he's there to help us to do it. So no one can say that they are weak and they can do it. Weakness is not an excuse because we have the grace of God. The scripture says, when we are weak, he's strong in us because his grace is sufficient. When you are weak and you feel like it's hard for you to walk in the ways of God and you are being tempted, depend on the grace. That's the reason God has given the body of Christ abundant grace. Grace of God is to help you do what you cannot do yourself. It's God's power. It's God's ability. It's God's strength for you to lean on the hard places. When you know that you can do it, you lean on the grace of God, and it will give you the strength, the power, and the ability to do what you can do. That's the reason he has given us the grace. And we have abundant source of grace every day that we receive from God. And he will never hold back his grace. Whoever calls on him, whoever asks for the grace, he's ready to give and is always available through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. He lives in us and he releases that grace always into our lives. So we have really no excuse not to walk in his ways. He has done everything that needs to be done, and he has given everything that we need to walk in his ways so that we can be set apart people, so that we can show forth who God is like to this world. The world needs to see the standard of God through us. If the believers do not walk in the ways of God, then the world will never see the standard of God. the standard of God you find in the Word. What is the standard of God? His truth, His light, His love, His righteousness. As the body of Christ, we are to be the standard of God before the world. Who else is going to be the standard of God before the world? They are in darkness. We are in the light. We have God living in us. In that case, we are to be the carriers of the standard of God to the world. His righteous ways, His justice, His goodness, His mercy, His character, His nature. All these things are to be seen through the body of Christ because we are a chosen people. We are the people of God. For most believers, to be saved means to escape hell and to go to heaven. As glorious as it is, God wants it to be more than that. Yes, He wants us to live in heaven forever. He has no desire anybody to perish. The Bible says God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Now that's God's desire, yes. But once we are saved, we are kept here as strangers and as aliens to show forth His praise to the world that are still in darkness. That is the reason that we, as believers, we are still here. So, God wants us to carry His glory, which is His presence, to this world and be distinct, to be set apart. The world sees a people that are living for God, that show forth the standard of God, so God can draw them to Himself. Let's go to 1 Peter 4, 1 through 2. Therefore, since Christ suffered in His body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Did you hear that? Verse 2 says, as a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. This is what God wants us to understand. Jesus suffered for our sins and died and rose again. Now we have received Jesus as our Savior. And the scripture says, whoever receives Jesus as the Savior should not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but for the will of God. So we are saved from our sins to go to heaven, but we are also saved to live for the will of God. We should not live the rest of our lives, earthly lives, for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. This is our calling while we are on earth. We are to live for the will of God. What is the will of God? To walk in the light, to walk in the truth, to walk in love, to walk in righteousness, walk in holiness and purity, and walk in the integrity of God. All these things that we see in the scriptures, that is His will. When you read the Gospels, when you read the epistles, you see the will of God revealed through the scriptures. Those are instructions for the believers so we can be set apart, so we can be distinct people on this earth. God is calling the body of Christ to be set apart and be distinct. That's what He wants the end time church to be. He wants the end time church to be so distinct, as the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 5, it says that He's going to cleanse us and purify us and bring us to a place of being a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, without any such blemish. Ephesians 5:27 says, to present her, that is the church, to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any such blemish, but holy and blameless. Now this is the church of the end times. This is the distinct church that God is preparing for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4:4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Did you hear that? This is an instruction. We are to possess our bodies and to keep it sanctified and honorable. This is something the believers have to do. We have to be honorable people and set apart. Then 2 Timothy 2:19 through 21. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, The Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now that's a choice you and I have to make. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, or love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now this is an instruction that the Holy Spirit is giving. He's saying we are to purge ourselves, or we are to cleanse ourselves from all of the iniquity, all of the sin and unrighteousness and darkness, so that we can be a vessel prepared for God's use. We'll be prepared to be used of God. Verse 22, he says, you are to flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness. See, follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, this is what God wants the believers to be. If you want to be used of God, if you want your life to hit the mark, then we have to follow these instructions of preparing yourself so that he can use you as a light, as a person that has that distinction of God, the mark of God on your life. And he will empower you. He will anoint you and empower you to accomplish the work he has for you. But before he can do that, he wants you to prepare yourself to come into the place he wants you to be. When we get born again, we are just raw material. We are not coming to that perfection of Jesus. We have not come into that maturity of Jesus. We are just raw material when we come in to know Christ. So he's saying you are to follow this instruction that is given in the word so that he bring you to the place of being that prepared vessel so he can use you in these end times. But you have to choose to do it. He's not going to do it for you. Now let's go to Titus chapter 2, starting from 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now this is how we are to live. We are to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. We are not of this world. We are aliens and strangers. We belong to the kingdom of God. Therefore, this is how we are to live. We are to live righteously, godly, and soberly. And verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. He gave himself for us so that he might redeem us from iniquity, from sin, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. A peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, this is what God's intention is. Jesus gave himself for us and cleansed us from all iniquity and purified unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Peculiar people, that means a people that are distinct, that are set apart, that has the mark of God on them. That's the peculiarity of the Christian. The peculiarity of the Christian is that mark of God, is the distinction of God. That's our peculiarity. As we go through the scriptures, we see the scriptures are speaking to us so clearly that the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to come into a place of being set apart. A group of people that are so distinct with the mark of God, with the character, the nature, and the righteous ways of God, that the world will see God through our lives. They will see the standard of God. They will see the goodness of God, the love of God, the mercy, the grace of God, the holiness of God. This is what God wants the body of Christ to come into. And it is the choice of each believer to step into that place and say, God, here am I. I will be a set apart person. I will be a consecrated person. I will be a person of distinction with the mark of God. So I can be the standard of God to this fallen world, to show forth your praise, to show forth your glory, to show forth your goodness, your mercy and your grace, so those that are lost and dying can find you. I'm willing to be the light, the salt, the standard, and to display you to this world. If that is your choice, and that's the cry of your heart, just open your heart and just say a simple prayer to God. You may have been a believer for many, many years, but you have never come to this place of total consecration and total desire to be set apart and be a person of distinction to carry His mark as a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have never made that commitment, if you have never come to that place of making that commitment, I urge you to do so. And let the Holy Spirit begin a work in and through your life and bring you to the place of maturity in Christ and to build you up and to equip you to accomplish whatever God has for your life. So on that day, you will have the great joy of knowing that you have run your race and you have kept your faith and you have finished your course in victory. And you will have the great reward of hearing from the Lord, your good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord.